Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's all,
I just put my name on
sublease.
It.
Sublease.
Oh,
nice. Jeez.
All right. We ready?
It actually sounds possible, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it really is.
Just some guy on a computer.
Yeah. He thinks we're joking right now. It's like, no, no.
Three, two, one. We're live.
That was quick.
We're live.
You ready for the countdown? Let's do this.
What was that? Three, two, one, go? Like, yeah. Okay.
What day of the week is it, Josh? We've done a lot of podcasts this week.
It's Wednesday, right?
Wednesday. I hope. Tomorrow. Is Thursday. I do my market update for all those people that haven't seen it. Go to Instagram. Check out that market update.
Tune in. Where are they going at?
What do you mean?
Where are you found on Instagram?
Oh, it's my name, Bucky Beeman.
Yeah. It's that guy in China again.
Yeah. All right, offices at China Hall on a Wednesday afternoon. Nice. Who are we here with on
you?
A Wednesday?
On a Wednesday. Julio Molina, first name, last name, at julio.motivateme on Instagram. First name, last name on Facebook. It is I.
It is I.
He has another account, Big Lifter.
Yeah.
No.
Swole. Swole.com.
All right. And who am I across the table from?
And I am Josh Langmaid. I own MediaCorp here in town, video production, and some sort of marketing.
Great.
Something like that.
You know, I was trying to think like how we're going to start this podcast, and I just figured I would just start it like, all right, Julio, motivate me.
Yeah.
Let's go.
That's what I asked him before we even got on. So are we going to get motivated?
And I said, I am going to inspire him out of his chair. And then after I said it, I'm like, I probably should have communicated that differently. I don't want you to leave. Yeah. Yeah. I want you to stay.
Oh, well, that was fun. See you guys. Yeah. I'll be over there.
And done. Turn up the lights.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Julio, give us the origin story of you. You know, where did you come from? Are you from Rochester?
Yeah.
What's up?
So, for me, it all started on 30 today. Not like it's my birthday.
Oh, I was just
going to say.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, man. It was a few weeks ago, last month.
Nice. Right.
So, for me, it started, I'm originally from Ojinaga, Chihuahua. So, Mexico. That's not where Chihuahuas are from. Ojinaga, Chihuahua, just a little small town at the border with Texas. Came here when I was 10. And from 10 to 18, I started consuming the good old culture that I was introduced to, which was like rap, hip-hop, right? So I was consuming that culture. And then at 18, I started to experiment the culture. You know, moving forward now that I'm 30, a lot has changed. I've gone through a lot of trials and tribulations, and I think that's where the Julio.motivateme comes from. So,
and did you go to high school in Rochester?
I did. So I went to John Marshall. Shout out to all my John Marshall students. I was at Century yesterday, if you guys follow me on Instagram. I was at Century supporting my wife. She's playing volleyball.
Okay.
With friends. Just kicking some time or whatever. But so that was weird. It felt wrong. But yeah, so John Marshall is where I went to. Black and red, baby.
What was it like when you moved here? You said you were 10 years old.
Yeah.
Did you know English at that time?
Zero.
Oh, zero. Man. Really? Zero?
Like zero.
And did your family speak any English?
No, like, so my brother was already here, right? And he was just, he had came here when he was 18. He's older than I am. And he had come here and he was, you know, working, going to school, that kind of thing. And then he started getting off track, so mama had to come down and do what mamas do. And we just obviously never went back. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't speak no English whatsoever.
And how did you learn English at 10 years old?
So, okay. So they have, I think they still do, but they have a ESL classes or something like ESOL or something like that. I can't remember correctly.
Yeah.
So Hoover on 19th Street, Elton Hills Drive, they had that class there for me, and I had a great teacher. So shout out to all the great teachers that actually care about students. I'm a product of one. So she said, like, listen, if you just devote to reading, like, your English would be sharp, and then you should learn it quicker. And I did. So, like, I just got into the books, and I picked it up pretty quick. So, in 6 months, I was at the program. And then I went into, like, regular, you know, education, I guess, or whatever. So, yeah, man. I mean, that's how I learned it from that teacher, to be honest with you. I owe everything to her.
Did you have to go back and keep trying to learn it, you know, as you were getting older? Or was it finally you conquered it and you just had it?
Yeah, so that's it. So, for me, like, I'm an avid learner already, as it is a part of my personality. So, like, I still do to this day. Just because, like, it's, yeah, I learned it, you know, 20 years ago. But there's still so much I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, there's words that I'm picking up that people use to express themselves or communicate things differently. So, yeah, for me, it's still reading books, listening to others who are, that's their native tongue. And then, like, I get to listen to them and see how they speak and, you know what I mean, how they articulate words and stuff like that. Yeah.
And how's your Spanish?
Muy bien.
Must be good.
Mucho bueno. My Spanish has gotten rougher.
Has it? When you're not speaking it.
It has. So even just now, I was calling my dad because I got to meet my dad after we're done. And I was trying to explain to him that he's got to bring his W-2s and, you know, he's got to take a screenshot. And I was literally, like, having a hard time talking to my dad on the phone. I was like, I should probably hit up that teacher, but she could teach me Spanish. So, yeah, it's gotten rougher because, you know, I mean, I would say 80% of my time with people is all English-speaking people.
Yep.
So, yeah.
He was on Google Translate on the phone trying to figure out how to say screenshot.
I'll just text you. I'll just text you what I'm going to say.
I have done that.
Yeah. And I haven't done it. Does it work well when you're texting Spanish? Like, can you just click a button and it translates over?
It's so frustrating.
Is it really?
Oh, man. The Spanglish life is real for those of us who are Hispanic in this world. It is so frustrating because I just got done texting with my wife, and then now I'm trying to text my dad. And it's like, you got to go to that button and switch the language. It's so annoying. It tests my patience. So, yeah, it's not as easy. Yeah. Or my dad would say, like, you didn't spell that right. And I just, like,
call you out.
I just try to make something up, dad. Like, did you get the point, though? Yeah. So, yeah.
Can you recall back, what was your first job?
Yeah, I can. So, actually, we talked about it a little bit before I started, but I didn't tell you it was my first job. So my uncle started a business about 17 years ago. So when I turned 13, he gave me an opportunity to be a cash register at the Mexican restaurant here in town. Shout out to El Carambas in town. And he's like, hey, man, like, you want to – I need you as a cash register. My English was okay, and I speak Spanish, right? So I could do both, which serves well in a Mexican restaurant. And then – so I started as a cash register guy, and that was my first job, man. Like, that was, I actually haven't thought about that in a while.
At the location they're still at
today? Yeah,
really?
Yeah, he's been there for years, dude.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Was there a Taco Bell next to them when they moved in?
That was Taco Bell.
Okay, so he moved into the Taco Bell location.
He moved in, and it felt like it was still Taco Bell.
I bet.
Because he had a very low budget, but a big dream, right? So he just, like, moved in, and it was still Taco Bell chairs, Taco Bell menu, like, Taco Bell headsets, like, everything. He literally just took their ingredients and moved his ingredients in and just opened up shop. That's crazy.
That's awesome.
And you had the drive. Is the drive-thru still open? Maybe it is. I don't recall.
It never was a business for him. Like,
yeah,
we tried it, but it's a hassle.
Yeah.
And just because of traffic there and stuff, like, and
it's
then
kind of an odd drive-thru anyways.
Right.
You know?
And then the style of his food, it requires a little bit more time, so drive-thru's got to be quick, right? So, I mean, it just didn't make sense. You'd have, like, four people waiting for, like, 30 minutes. It's just, people get...
This isn't my normal drive-thru. I don't like this.
Then they hate your
There wasn't any mobile ordering at that time?
No! No, there was no DoorDash.
No DoorDash.
There was no DoorDash.
What was your second job, third job? Kind of give us that story.
Let me see. I think it was... Actually, it was construction. So then, like, back when I turned 18, I started getting overwhelmed with the time that the restaurant, like, demanded, because you got to be there all the time. So then, like, I'm like, let me try something different. Like, let me go into the construction world. So then I started like roofing. I started doing like floors. I started doing sheetrock, painting. Like I was that guy that like it was the first day on the job all the time. So like pay me $10 an hour. You just do all the edges. If you're painting, like you get the garbage and throw it in the dumpster, that kind of thing. So construction was my thing. And I did that for about 4 years. So lawn care and snow removal. That was actually pretty fun. Yeah. So.
And was it ever your own company or did you work for somebody?
No, I always wanted to, though. Low-key, I had my own window washing company, though, for like 30 days.
What was the name of it? Did you make a business card?
Julio Molina Services.
There you go.
Yeah,
you go.
It's still my Gmail today.
Is it really?
Yeah, dude. And a lot of people, it actually looks kind of cool. So if I go different places and I'll tell them my email and then they kind of look at me differently. So they're like, all right, so what's your email? And then I put it in. And then as soon as I say services...
So what type of
service? They look up and then, you know what I mean? They keep typing, like, what type of services do you provide?
Yeah.
But yeah, I did it just because, so I've always been like really driven, right? So like I knocked on some doors and I was offering my services, like just do any lawn care or whatever experience I had. And one lady, she's like, you know, I don't need any of that, but I do need my windows washed. Like my handyman like moved or something. And I did hers for like $120. It was dirt cheap and it was like 15 windows, like two-story house and everything. I got underpaid. But 2 weeks later she calls me back and she's like, I have a realtor friend who's selling two houses and she needs all her windows washed. That was a little bit more than $120. So that was a nice paying job. So it was only for 30 days and then after that I quit.
You're like, I like riches. He's like, I'm
yeah,
not
you know, like I made it. Like I'm good.
He's like, I made it. I'm gonna go inspire people now. Yeah.
Of how to make it. So now my motto is, you know, quitting is not an option. No, I still think about that sometimes, right? Because I think it could have really turned into something. Like if we really dive into that story, like it was actually a real meaningful story because like that lady, like I literally knocked on like 45 doors and five open, but she's the only one that gave me an opportunity. And she actually gave me a ladder that she had in her garage. And she was like, you need to start your own business doing this. So like my mind was not even like, you know, I need to start a business. I was just like, I need some money and I need to go work. Right. And she's like, you need to start a business. So then like she gave me the ladder and everything. And she's like, you need to go and do something. And she's like, oh, and then she goes, when I knocked on the door and she tells me, I need you to wash my windows. She goes, you need to go home and watch some YouTube videos. Legit. Dude.
Hey, did she really?
Legit.
That's awesome.
And she told me when she paid me, she goes, I knew you didn't have an idea of how to wash a window. Like I could just tell, but I respected the fact that you at least knocked on the door. Right. So then like, you know, obviously I didn't continue with it because of the mentality that I had back then. But the reason why I think that is a deep, you know, story is because it could have really turned into something. But I just my mindset was not there. So then I was just like, I'm just going to go back to working rather than like creating or developing my own business. Yeah. I still have that letter today.
What letter?
No, that ladder.
Ladder.
Yeah. See, that's my Spanish in me,
there
man.
You go.
Ladder.
When were we talking about writing a letter? I don't remember that.
Oh, gosh. All right. Now what are you doing?
So now I am at a dealership here in town. I'm a business manager now, so I do, like, financing. So I take care of all your credit approval, lots of paperwork. I need to make sure I have your address and all that good stuff right. And then obviously offering different coverages for customers in the office. So that's what I'm doing now. And I've been in the industry for 3 years in the car industry. I've been enjoying it. So,
what have you learned?
What I've learned, honestly, is the power of being focused, engaged, and willing. Right? So prior to when I started at the... at the dealership, the first dealership I was at, I was actually $30,000 in debt. And I had just gotten evicted from my townhome. And my daughter was like 2 months old at the time, right? So I got $30,000 in debt. And I'm behind on all my bills, rent and everything. I owe my grandma, friends, I owe everybody money. Everybody's calling my phone. They want their money. My credit is like nothing worth of sharing on this podcast. And someone said, man, you need to go sell cars, right? So then, like, I was so tired of being in that position in my life that I said, I am going to focus on this opportunity, and I'm going to engage in the opportunity, and I'm going to be willing to work as hard as possible. And I literally, I'll share this truthfully, like, organically, I canceled out every dream that I had. Like, I just said, I'm done dreaming. I'm done having goals. Like, I need to just focus on this opportunity. And, like, I paid off all my debt in, like, a year and a half. And my income quadrupled from where I was making in all these other jobs that we've been talking about, like, four times within, like, the first year. Right? So, and it was all because of being focused, engaged, and willing. And once I got to actually, it was almost like I went in a lab and did an experiment, and then it like generated me results instantly. And I was like, this works. Like, this is amazing. So now I feel like I can start a business because I know the recipe. I feel like I found the secret to success. And now being in the car business, I feel like it's easy to sell a car. Right? Not because of like who I am or how I look, but because of the formula and the mindset that I found that you need in order for you to be successful in that. So that's what I've learned.
What were some of the things you had to shut off? You know, you say you just shut it off, shut off those dreams or those goals. What's some examples of things you had to shut off in order to focus on that?
So I mean, I've been a big dreamer since I was little, right? Like Ojinaga, Chihuahua is one of the poorest towns in Mexico. Like, it's a border, but it's poor unless you are a drug lord, legit. And so, you know, coming from a real, real poor town, like, you have to learn quickly, like, either, to me, it was a solution to every problem to get rich. Like, that was, if I could just get rich, like, it will solve all my problems, right? So my motto since this is what my mom told me when we first entered into United States, and she decided that we were going to stay here. She said, you need to learn English as soon as possible because English people get paid more money. So then, like, I devoted myself to that too, right? And when I did that, like, and then I started, you know, growing and getting better and things like that, I had to let go of, I want to be rich. And I was willing to either be a music producer to get rich, because I was making beats and stuff like that, and I was sending them to like Lil Wayne and all that stuff, Jay-Z. Nobody called me back. And start a business, right? Or whatever the case, whatever it took, whatever avenue there was available for me to be rich, like, I just said, I'm done. And I need to just focus on this opportunity and stop living this fantasy of like, I need to be rich, I need to be rich, I need to be rich, I need to be rich. And I just need to focus on the opportunity in front of me. Mm-hmm. And it's like when I did that, man, like, it really produced results for me. You know what I mean? And I'm dreaming now, but my dream is not like dreaming, right? It's more like it's strategic, right? Like, there's a plan in place. Knowing that if I'm focused, willing, and engaged, I am going to get the results to make that thing happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
I kind of compare it, and Josh and I have these conversations often of ideas. Yeah. And I consistently bring up, like, if it's not related to commercial real estate for me, I don't want to allow myself to dedicate too much time to it or any time.
Yeah.
Because it's out of the lane that I'm so invested in and so focused on and so trying to build, right? So,
yeah, I mean, and it was hard for me to do, right? It was hard for me to do because, like I said, I mean, I've always been a dreamer since a baby, right? Since I can honestly remember. And like, I used to remember like putting myself to sleep, imagining my future, right? As a young kid, like, I'd put like a lowrider bike together in my head and then I'd fall asleep, you know what I mean? Or a car or whatever, a house, like, and then I'd fall asleep. So like, I've always been a dreamer. So it was hard for me to let go of like who I've been for years. But I there was just something in me, man, that just turned that switch that allowed me to focus, engage, and get willing. And, like, man, the results has just been tremendous. And now that all that stuff is taken care of, now that I don't have that weight on my shoulders, now it's like, now what? Right? Because, like, I enjoy the car business, but I don't want to be in it for, like, 30, 40 years. You know what I mean? Like, behind a desk, and I don't know if that's what it'll look like. I don't know, right? Like, as I'm getting better, you know, it can look many different ways. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, okay, I want to start dreaming again and, like, be focused, engaged, and willing in my dream and then see that fulfilled. So now it's like a different season in my life where I'm trying to balance that dream and reality.
So we must be catching you on a day off.
Oh, yeah. Wednesdays on my days off. But, you know, I'm always working too, right? Because I got kids and stuff like that. A 4-year-old and a 12-year-old. But, yeah, man, I am so excited about my days off because I get to do what I want. And I could do stuff like this with you guys, or, you know, I can go home and, you know, put stuff together on what I'm thinking about my, you know, my next step is going to be. And, yeah, it's fun.
That's neat.
So do you have ideas of, like, what the next steps are going to be?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let's hear your passion.
Yeah. So for me, the biggest thing I want to do now is, in the last 3-4 years, I honestly believe that I found a recipe, right? I really believe I found a formula. Someone that can go from maybe not a situation like I was to a T concerning debt, you know, behind in their bills, credit score, you know, my marriage was on the rocks, right? There was some drug abuse there as well, like all that stuff, right? Like stress, depression, like all that stuff that I personally went through and overcame. Now I feel like I can help somebody else overcome as well. So my passion now is to, okay, what good does it do to a man to figure it out and not share it with somebody else? Mm. Right? Like, if I find out how to get fit and it's like, I got this like strategy and recipe, like, what good does it do just for me? Like, I'll look in the mirror and then, you know, I'll look good or whatever, but it's like, you're not helping somebody else. So for me, that's my biggest passion now. It's like, I think that the reason why I chose my name, Julio.motivateme on Instagram, is because, like, my wife and I and the kids watch Shark Tank a lot, right? And one of the biggest things I've learned is just find the biggest need in the world and you got yourself something special. So I thought, like, what is it? What is it? What is it? And every day I ask myself, what's the biggest need? What's the biggest need? What's the biggest need? And I think the biggest need right now that will withstand for years is you need to be motivated, right? Like, there's this thing called self-motivation, but you're getting that motivation from somewhere. Like, you got to be talking to somebody. You look something up online. You seen a billboard. You seen something that motivated you. So for me, like, that's my passion right now. That's my idea. My idea is how to turn that recipe and that formula into a business that can help somebody else, but at the same time allow me to have this freedom that I enjoy on days like today. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, you guys can pay for the secret sauce. So
should
we leave now? We'll have a link to that.
The moment arrived. I inspired secret him out sauce. Of his chair. So, no, I
so does that look like a lot of people at like speaking, or is that like one-on-one working with businesses, individuals? Yeah. What kind of thing does that look like?
Part of me wants to do it all.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that the beginning will be speaking, because I think it's, you know, off of opportunities like this or meeting different people, like they'll bring me in and say either A, share your story, or, you know what I mean? We have a team that needs to go from, like, for example, sales, right? Like, we have a guy that's selling 5 cars right now. How do we take him to 12 cars? Mm-hmm. Like, I know how to do that. You know what I mean? And I can confidently say that in a humble, organic way. So it's like, call me. I got you, right? Like, I got the recipe. Or maybe it's a, you know, a church. Like, hey, man, we need you to come in and share your testimony, because we believe there's a lot of people in our church who need to hear that, need to be encouraged that they can too do it. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think what's cool and where we're catching you is at the beginning stages.
Yeah.
Yep.
You are at the beginning stages of trying to build out something. I think that's awesome to just hear what the dream is.
Yeah.
And then think about how you can put the pen to paper and put the actions in place to actually make it happen.
The biggest thing I have right now that, because, you know, like every business needs to have a product or a service, right? Like, you know, with you and doing real estate, I mean, if you don't have a building, if you don't have real estate, you don't have a business, right? Like, so for me, if I don't have that formula on paper, if I don't have that recipe as a product or as a service, I don't have a business. So what I've done is I put a program together that we're developing that basically we have the foundation down, but it's 7 days to a better you, right? And it's, I believe it shouldn't take no more than 7 days out of your life to really figure out what you want to do, get your life under control, get focused, willing, and engaged, and just be a better person, right? So if it's a sales business, 7 days to a better sales you, right? If it's on 101, 7 days to a better you. You know what I mean? You know, if it's a different atmosphere, whatever, you know what I mean? But it's a seven days to a better you is what I have right now. So I'm excited to, you know, develop that more and make that available for the people, you know, in our community, but then also, you know, in the surrounding areas.
How are you using social media as a platform to motivate, to build this, to document this journey? What are you doing on social media at this point?
So I got to be honest with you. Like, I love talking, but like, I get nervous talking and holding the phone at the same time.
I'm with you.
It's weird, right? Like, it's
especially in public. Like, I can do it right here, right now. Yeah. But if I'm like in public and I watch yours, sorry to interrupt. Yeah. Where you know the sign is that you're nervous is when you start it down here.
Yeah. If when you start anyone it, like goes down, it's
I know I'm looking at myself, but is anybody else looking?
And then slowly you bring it up. You're like, all right, no one's looking. All right, here we go.
Try to play it cool.
Yeah.
But
why is that? But no, I hear you.
Yeah. So, I mean, for right now, like what I'm doing is just trying to be more consistent on just putting more videos and sharing my current thoughts in Facebook, Instagram, and then, you know, later in YouTube. But right now I'm just Facebook and Instagram heavy and just whatever thought I have, right? Like a lot of times when I go to the gym, I go to the gym for like anchoring my thoughts, right? Like I don't go to the gym for like looks. I go to the gym for visualizing my future.
And looks.
okay, and looks. I appreciate that, Josh. Thank you very much. I was trying to be humble, man. So like when I, you know, obviously I get done with the gym, so that like I clear my head and then now I have like a thought that I'm focused on. So like I want to share that with somebody else because now that motivated me in my gym session and then moving forward for my day. So a lot of times it's, you know, me sharing that thought and, you know, in hopes that it will motivate somebody that day.
What's an example? What's an example of what you're sharing?
So my biggest thing right now, my biggest conviction that I have is that things don't change until you hate it. And I think that a lot of times people look at hate in a negative context. And I've come to learn that hate is a good thing. It's a very positive thing. If you haven't gotten to hate yet in your life, you're in trouble. And a lot of times people try to avoid hate. And I think that's the reason why they haven't had breakthroughs in their lives. Because they're running away from hate rather than just meeting hate and saying, hello, my name is Julio Molina. Nice to meet you. Let's do this thing. Right? So a lot of times, like a lot of my conviction comes from that. So I think the latest one that I did, and those of you that guys that follow me could correct me if I'm wrong, but I did the hate one, right? And I said, like, things really don't change, man, until you hate it, right? And, like, I come across many different people, like single mothers, right, or someone in their business or, you know, even a coworker that still selling 2-3 cars and they've been there for 6 months, like, getting paid, like, base salary, you know what I mean? And it's like, you don't hate it yet. You know what I mean? And until you hate it, things will change for you. So for me, the moment that things, when that switch turned on for me was the moment that I got evicted. I walked out of my house to throw my garbage away, came back inside, and I seen a note on my door. And that note said, you got till 5 o'clock to get out. They didn't give me 24 hours. They didn't give me 30 days. They said, you got till 5 o'clock. You need to get your stuff out. And for 2 seconds, 2 minutes, 160 seconds, 120 seconds, I hated myself. Legit. Like, I hated myself with a passion. And then 60 seconds later after that, I heard a whisper in my heart that said, hate the circumstances, but don't hate yourself. And when I heard that in my heart, dude, it was like I was off to the races. I hated, at that point, I hated being broke. I hated not having enough. I hated making those decisions that I was making. I hated the drug that I was using at the time. I hated my current circumstances with such passion that I was like, I am so done with this, like through with it. So that's some of the things that I like to share on like Instagram or Facebook is like, guys, if you're still doing that thing, it's not going to change until you hate it. Mm-hmm. And when will you know that you do hate it? Is because you'll question yourself in a way where you're like, I can't even stand my own self. But understand that in that moment, it's just hate meeting you at the door and saying it's time for you to change, right? And just say, okay, don't hate yourself. Because the reason why is, man, like some people don't make it through that season in life, right? Like because they do hate themselves and they go heavier on drugs or they go heavier on depression and they end up taking their life or their marriage ends up completely just breaking apart. They can't see their kids and like they really, really hate themselves. So that's my biggest conviction right now. And that's what I try to share online, like, you know, different thoughts like that. Mm. Yeah, man.
Can you expedite the hate, meaning so there's something that you're doing that you're not liking?
Yeah.
And can you, in your mind, then say, all right, I need to hurry up and hate this thing mm-hmm. in order to get it out of my life?
See, that's a good question, but it's got to happen organically, right? Like before you and I were, we came here and Josh arrived, you know, you talked to me like, hey, man, I woke up this morning. I had two offers that came in, right, on properties. And I told you, I said, that's harvest time, right? So, like, you can't speed up seasons in life. Like, everybody's got their own journey. You know what I'm saying? And you can try to throw some extra fertilizer and some steroids on there to try to speed that process up. And it would avoid a lot of troubles and heartaches, but let it happen organically because then it'll be real. You know what I mean?
I think a way to speed up the process, though, is to get rid of the distractions. Mm. Because if you're doing something that you don't like, but you go home and, you know, drinking's your outlet, video games your outlet.
Yeah.
You know, binge watching Netflix is an outlet. You do this to just cope with whatever it is. Like, you know, I hate my circumstance. I'm not going to get out. I'm going to do this stuff that I at least enjoy somewhat.
Yeah.
And just stay there. I'm going to sit there now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you start taking those out and you don't have those things.
Yeah.
Then it's like you really understand where you're at and like what you need to do because you really don't like that spot.
Maybe piggy off of what you're saying, maybe a different way I could have answered your question is be careful on what you try. Because if you like it, you get hooked on it, right? And I'm not talking about just like drug abuse or anything like that, but I'm talking about just life in general. That's part one of the main reasons why I don't have a gaming station or whatever they're called, a gaming video, whatever, at my house.
You don't have an N64, man? I thought everybody had N64.
I used to, but I had to pawn it when I was going through some times. I got $20 for it.
Did
Shout out to the pawn shops. But be careful on what you try, right? Because if, you know, you try gaming, you really, really like it, and you just get hooked on it. So, obviously, you know, people at our age is, you know, cancel out some of those distractions. But try the things that will actually propel you forward, not just keep you happy, right? So, like, try, I don't know, you know, meeting with people like yourselves. Try a podcast. Try shooting a video. Try starting a window washing business. Just try it because those things will actually move you forward. Mm-hmm. If you just try things that would just make you happy in the moment, that's pretty meaningless. even though there's meaning in it too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, taking more of your energy away from unproductive things and then moving it,
yeah,
trying stuff that's at least productive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Yep.
That's cool.
Things don't change until you hate it, man.
Things don't change until you hate it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I just, because like when I was at KFI, you know, I really liked it.
Mm.
And I was there, you know, and it was one of those things, but I still knew that I had to do my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is the person that I am.
Mm-hmm.
Always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So it got to the point where I kind of could.
Yeah.
But I had to, I don't know if I hated it, but like, you know, I sold like the PS4. I sold all that stuff because I knew I had to focus, you know, one thing. But probably the last month there, I don't think I like hated it, but I knew it wasn't right.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a light switch too. It's like, you got to stop because you know, like clearly what you're supposed to do and you got to go for it.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah,
it was just like made that happen.
And you got to stop that consistent pattern, you know, that consistent pattern of, okay, I'm going to get up and go do that thing. And,
yep,
you know, not that it's bad even,
yeah,
but I need to flip the switch. I need to turn the page. I need to move on to the next season.
And the other thing that I have that I'm working with in the lab, you know, I like to call my house and my little area that I have a home and my time in the mornings the lab. And what I'm working on is trying to figure out, like, there's those that, you know, do come to that season in their life when they hate it and things change, right? And it may look a little bit different, like, you know, for you it looks a little bit different than it did for me, but you did come to that point in your life. But then there's people who are still in the same season, same stage in their life, and they haven't changed for a very long time.
Yep.
So I'm trying to figure out, how can I help those people? Is it something that's just like God-given, or is it something that like I can help and flip the switch for them? Like, is there some way somehow that I can tell them something to turn that switch on, or like, you know, have something set up like what Bucky was asking? Can I literally tell myself, you need to hate this thing, mm-hmm, so that I just move forward, right?
Yep.
Because some people do change, and some people stay in their comfortable spot. And, you know, for me, I just have never been satisfied. And it's hurt me sometimes because I moved around. You know what I mean? Like, I could have stayed at the dealership I was at, man. You know what I mean? I mean, my biggest month there was 33 and a half cars. You know, my closing ratio was like 62%. You know, I talked to 60 people, and I'd close 30, almost 35 of them, right? And I say that because, like, that was just like what I was focused, willing, and engaged on, right? And so I could have stayed there. Like, I like it. I like the money. I like the customer base I'm building. Like, I like all that. But for me, I'm just like, I want more. And now this business management precision is like, oh, man, like, this is what more looks like, which is a whole different, you know, the whole different topic that a lot of people want big until big demands big of you. Mm. Like, it's time to show up. You want it big? Now big is saying, I want big from you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you wanted this position, and this position is like, you need to be up here now on a level. And you're like, oh, now I need to come up. So, yeah, man.
Huh. So true.
I got to go.
All right.
I know.
It's good.
You inspired me.
Out of your chair.
I'm getting out of my chair. It works. So,
where are you going, Josh? Give us the feedback. Where are you
heading to? I got to go to do my taxes. I got a meeting with my tax guy.
Really?
Part of,
you're leaving this session for
part
taxes?
I know. That's part of the fun business.
And what are you learning from it?
That it's hard. I'm going there with half the stuff that he wanted, and I'm going to figure out how to get him the rest of the stuff.
What's an example? Come on, give us an example.
Well, he wanted W-2s from last year and stuff like that, so I had to get that from my other tax people. Mileage log.
Yes, mileage
log
is
smokes,
tough,
I have no idea what I'm doing with that. You know, like,
there's an app called Mile IQ. That's the app.
You
need to use it.
On YouTube all the time.
So I got to do that now, and then all my expenses. So a report on, and I have those expenses. I just want to know how he needs that presented.
Well, he wants to know what type of expense are they. So you bought something. What type of expense is it? Because he codes it to a type of expense. He doesn't just say cup was a cup. He says cup was an office supply.
Yeah.
iPad was a tech investment.
Okay.
He has his code that he has to apply it to.
Yeah.
So
So those are two examples of like, let's go figure this out now. First year into a business.
Love it.
I hope you get like $20,000 back.
Yeah, that's
right. Thank you, Josh.
No,
Where can people find out more about you?
MediaCore LLC on Instagram and MediaCore on Facebook.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
Try safe, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, man. I really don't want to leave this one.
See ya, buddy. So Julio, if you think about the next steps in your journey, what are some things you're really looking forward to of these next steps related to?
Yeah, so honestly, man, I'm really looking forward to really living out everything that we just talked about. Like, I really want to live out, you know, traveling, you know, getting on an airplane, you know, going to a speaking, you know, venue. And I don't have to be the keynote speaker yet. I could be the last guy to speak, but just to be a part of that event, like, I look forward to that. I look forward to saying, you know, I have a client, right? And like, hey man, we have a call on Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, and putting that 7 days to a better you to work. And then, you know, obviously seeing that, that finance come through PayPal or something like that.
The fruits of your labor,
man. Yeah, the fruits of the labor. But that's what I look forward to, man. I really look forward to just doing that, whether it be part-time, small-time, and then eventually full-time. Yeah, that's what I look forward to the most.
In the community, what's something that someone can do to kind of help get you onto the next the next level? What's something they can think of?
You know, obviously anybody that's been watching live, or, you know, maybe you're watching this after, or anyone listening, if, you know, maybe if you want to just get to know me a little bit better, maybe there's some like details that I left out in the questions that I've answered, or maybe you were just inspired and encouraged enough on what you heard. There's a need in this community for sure for me to come into your small business, your big business, your church, for me to come into your, you know, some type of youth group, for me to come in even to your own home or via Facebook, Skype, some way, somehow, one-on-one coaching. Whoever is listening, there's, and you're hearing this and you're like, man, I like this guy. I like what he's saying. I can help. There's more to, you know, to me than what we talked about. And when I say me, I'm not talking about me, but I'm saying what I can offer to the community. So if you think of something, just get a hold of me, right? Facebook, first name Julio, last name Molina. Instagram, Julio.motivateme. Just get a hold of me. I'll never say no, because I'm a yes man, but I'll say, let's look at it. And then we'll make that decision.
There you go. All right. Offices of China Hall.
Yes, sir.
On a Wednesday.
It's official.
Can we just do this every Wednesday from here on out? Man, if that's your day off.
If we can make it an official thing, dude. I'm going to have to get like my own sweatshirt made. Just like Josh had MediaCore. So yeah, man, it's been awesome. Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for listening, guys. And yeah, get a hold of me.
So if people want to find him, Instagram, Julio.motivateme.
Yes, sir.
And if you're interested in office space, checking out the offices at China Hall, we are on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
And we're also on Spotify. So.
This place is beautiful. I mean, this place should really be like booked.
We're working on that.
Get over here, guys.
We need to do one of your events up here. That's what we need
there
to
you
do.
Go. There you go.
All right, we're out.
See ya. Sweet, dude.
That was awesome.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, dude.
It's so cool hearing the origin story. It's the stuff, you know, you wouldn't have that.